God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. Friday, thank you. Another week together. I don't often enough tell you that there's an equation in media. And it might not mean much to you. After all, I'm a separate dude from you, or dudette, as it were. I get to be a dude, though. Without enough of you out there, there is no me in here, not in this role. So I need to thank you more regularly. I've always had a dream of doing talk radio since I first heard Paul Harvey way back in the day with my dad going through the mountains hunting, and he would play the rest of the story and then news and commentary, even up to the point that as a high school football team captain and wrestler, I'd sneak out to the car and listen to Paul Harvey with the dear friends. I didn't tell a lot of friends about that. Now I love it. Talk about it all the time. So thank you for that. Thank you to AFR for having me here, and thank you for monthly donors who make this possible. We have an audience of one, that's God, and we're out to please him. Seek not the approval of humans. But we do have a podcast family, a radio family. That's you. Radio and podcasting, AFR.net. If you missed this program, you don't need to wait. You can go and get it immediately at AFR.net when you're a monthly supporter. So it's a campaign season, and there's a pandemic. Are you catching my sarcastic yawn? I don't want to yawn. 524 people, according to the World Health Organization, have died from this. I'm here to tell you, in all likelihood, that means they died with it, not from it. It's mpox. We're not to call it monkeypox anymore. Mpox. Monkeypox can have a bad image on same-sex attracted men who have sex with other men. And certainly, we are not to wish them ill. God forbid. No. Their sin is no better than mine. No better than yours. No worse. Monkeypox is now a pandemic, we're being told. Let's remind ourselves of some things. This outbreak is a global health emergency. Oh, not yet a pandemic, but they're going to get there. Pandemics no longer need to involve a single death. Not one. That was a rule the World Health Organization decided to change. Why? Because why make it hard to declare a pandemic? The World Health Organization proved itself to be a fraud, utter and complete fraud, when they decided to pretend there's no such thing as individual immunity without shots. Here's how they did it. They put quote marks around the phrase herd immunity. They said that herd immunity is a myth, that herd immunity can only happen when there's been injections. What is a herd of people? It's four or five people together, individuals. What is herd immunity? It's people with immunity gathered together. How do we get immunity from diseases? We either have it when we're born through T cell and crossover immunities that come from our parents, or we're exposed to the pathogen. Our body recognizes it and creates an immune response. In other words, just as God designed it. The World Health Organization, for people like me, has no credibility at all on anything ever again. When you lie on that massive a basis, you can never be trusted. The huge nature of that lie is breathtaking. It should have led to the utter cancelization of any American money, in an official sense, government money going to that group. It didn't. It almost did. President Trump wanted us out of the World Health Organization. We should be out. They don't mean us well. People who lie on that level do not mean you well. You shall not lie, and you will know them by their fruits. Now, is monkeypox real? It is. Apparently, it's been found in the water in San Francisco. That's scary. How did it get into the water in San Francisco? Because San Francisco is a fallen city. As I say this, I'm just picturing when I lived there, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful city it used to be. My daughter was just there, and I just got to visit with her about some of the places I lived and some of the things she did in San Francisco. Made me happy that she got to have those experiences and was not accosted or killed, thank God. It's incumbent upon us to state these things because it won't make it into the Mockingbird media. I am very convinced that next week I'm going to be making the case that we could have a legal argument of collusion against the Mockingbird media members. I'm tiring of pretending there's nothing we can do. I don't want to police speech, far from it. Say what you want. God will track that down. God is pro free speech. But I'm tired of pretending that we can't do anything to police the Mockingbird media and respect the First Amendment. We can and we should. If Google and Apple got together and agreed to limit features on mobile phones and price scheming, that would be illegal collusion. It would be limiting consumer choice. If the Mockingbird media has gotten together and said, we're going to agree on this is how we're going to pretend that Kamala Harris is filled with joy, then that's collusion. It's limiting consumer choice. They did that this week. They rebranded her cackle as joy. I think that we can charge them with collusion, and I think we could get a very, very good chance of at least finding out why they're colluding. I mean, it's ideology, sure, but is there money or the payoffs? Is government telling them to? I think all of the above, actually. The Kamala Harris propaganda team has been creating literal fake news headlines with Google ads. There's a radio station apparently threatening to sue her campaign for pretending they endorsed her.
This is part of paid advertising. I mean, if you are somebody who's reading a news outlet on your phone, you'll see embedded ads come up sometimes in those stories that, for, you know, on first glance, look like a story by the outlet you're reading. But if you don't, you know, if you look at it more closely, it says sponsored content. I mean, this is something that the search engines do. It's part of the way they generate ad revenue. So there's nothing about it that is, you know, violates their terms or is in any way unethical. I mean, this is part of the way that paid advertising works. And, you know, you'll see it. It's certainly not just political campaigns who do it. I mean, just as I am reading things online, sometimes I'll double, you know, I'll sort of like double look at something because it feels like it's an authentic piece of content, and then you see it's paid. So it is incumbent on the viewer, the reader, the consumer to have a discerning eye.
That woman works for Axios, and that woman was just defending, and I'll explain what they did, literally writing fake news headlines, fake headlines, and pretending it came from USA Today. Pretending it came from AP News. Her name is Kate Bedingfield. She absolutely knows the difference between paid advertising and lying about what the news article says, which is what the Harris campaign did. No one is surprised that campaigns spend money on ads, not a single human being. No one cares. What they're doing is producing fake headlines that are not news and putting news organizations' names on it. If President Trump did it, dot, dot, dot. The Mockingbird media must be investigated. She can say whatever she wants. I never want to see the government in this country do more to crush speech than they're already doing because they're trying to crush speech. They're putting people in prison for speech. But I do not want to pretend that there isn't collusion. It's clear that there is. So Kamala HQ on Twitter is upset by this video of Trump comparing his crowds with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s.
But you never see the picture of the crowd. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken. I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King, when he did his speech, his great speech, and you look at ours, same real estate, same everything, same number of people. If not, we had more. And they said he had 1 million people, but I had 25,000 people. But when you look at the exact same picture, and everything's the same because it was the fountains, the whole thing, all the way back to from Lincoln to Washington. And you look at it, and you look at the picture of his crowd, my crowd. We actually had more people. They said I had 25,000 and he had a million people. And I'm okay with it because I liked Dr. Martin Luther King.
President Trump is often his own worst enemy, saying things like, I have the biggest crowds, etc. It is this instinct he has. And I believe God had humbled him when the Lord, I believe, saved his life from this assassination attempt, which I think was allowed to occur. Sometimes he's his own worst enemy when it says things that way. But he's right. They do use angles and photographic angles to make it seem that the crowds are smaller. They do much, much more. Kamala Harris has yet to sit down for an actual interview. Talking to RuPaul, the man who pretends to be a woman for a living, is not an interview. Sitting down and cackling and laughing with a friend of yours who is a podcast host who asks you, who's the greatest living rapper? She was asked that question, and Kamala Harris said it was a guy named Tupac Shakur. Tupac has been dead for 25 years, and the host called that out. Guess what Kamala Harris did? Guess. No, guess. It'll be fun. She cackled. I keep doing that. I keep forgetting that my favorite rapper is dead. Gosh, how? Because Kamala Harris doesn't exist. She takes the form of water. Whatever container you pour her in, she'll fit. Crescent Star, good. Black Lives Matter Incorporated Communist Fist, fine. Upside down cross with Satanists serving in the White House, fine. She has yet to do a real interview. And the Mockingbird Media would like to remind you that TV interviews are outdated, just like radio interviews. So Kamala Harris doesn't have to do any of them at all.
Do you think Harris is going to have to sit down for these interviews? I mean, she hasn't yet, and it has not been her strongest forum in the course of her career.
Yeah. I imagine she will. I don't know. The way you communicate presidential campaigns is also a little different in the TikTok era from the way it was in the network
television. Megan is nodding. She doesn't think candidates have to do these interviews at all.
in the network TV. And you also sit down with different kinds of people in the TikTok era from what you did. Look, this is television. I don't want to say anything disrespectful of television. But if we were on radio in 1950, wondering when is the candidate going to sit next to his or her next interview on the mutual broadcasting system, they'd say, well, there's this thing called television that has come along, and it may be changing politics. And TikTok has done the same thing.
Sure, TikTok has done the same thing. So is Twitter. And you can do both. You could have a substantive conversation like President Trump did 2 hours unscripted with Elon Musk. They didn't even bring cameras. Basically listening to a phone call. A billion impressions. A billion. 2 hours unscripted. The media would also like to remind you to stop whining about Kamala Harris not doing interviews.
So the highbrow nature of the press coming at Kamala Harris saying, well, she, in my view, whining, that she doesn't talk to us. She hasn't done a sit down with us. She hasn't done interviews with us. But right now, is there a real need for her to sort of, you know, get the imprimatur of the press on her campaign and in her efforts when she's having a very good conversation seemingly with the American people without them?
That's my former boss at the Republican National Committee. Breaks my heart. What's happened to you, Michael? What's happened to you? She's not having a conversation with the American people. As much as I'd like to think so, I don't get to have conversations with you. I feel like we talk together. It's weird. Live radio is weird. It is. It's the strangest thing. I can feel you guys. I don't want to say that in a creepy way. I can feel you listening. It's so bizarre, and I'm so thankful for that. But it's not really a conversation. I want it to be. I'd love for it to be. I hope I can make it to the next AFR Live event and meet a bunch of you guys. It's weird. I've never met most of you, and I miss you. Wow. Lord, thank you for reminding me how grateful I am to be here. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll continue. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I know we're kind of maybe subtly aware of this, but just this, behold this comparison. The same people in political organizations that think that children are born in the wrong body and are not boy but girl, and the same organizations that believe that same-sex unions are the same as, if not better, than one man, one woman in marital union, are the same groups that that create partnerships with other political entities who want to see same-sex attracted people murdered and people who experience gender confusion or express gender rebellion murdered. How is it that the Democrat Party can say so-called trans kids have a right to exist? Such a silly statement. Of course people have a right to exist, but they can say that. So-called trans kids have a right to exist, and let's let Sharia law into the country. How do you do that? You do it because these are relationships of convenience. These are intersectional partnerships, false partnerships. It is simple politics, going to one group and saying we care only about you, and then going to another and say we only care about you. Making single issue topics people's obsessions and making it as close to the flesh as possible. Brilliant. Brilliant. Satan so easily manipulates us with the flesh. It's the hardest thing to fight. Sometimes it's your flesh that wants to lie. You want to be liked. It can be as simple as a white lie. Your mother-in-law asks you, how's the borscht? And you go, it's really good. You're spitting in your napkin, but it's a white lie. You want to be loved. You don't want to be cruel. Okay, forgivable. Your flesh, of course, can want many things. Satan is so good at this. So the Democrats put everything up to the flesh level. Of course, sex is the easy one. All things are good except for monogamous marriage or traditional wives, because they're being abused. Trad wives, as they're called, they're being abused. But any other form of sex is good and to be promoted, even down to kindergarten level. Flesh, 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 flesh. Kids who become gender confused. Well, let's pay that off. Flesh, 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 flesh. The anger present in so much of Islam, the desire for conquest, which is part and parcel of the Quran, the acting nice until you gain power, a battle plan of the Quran, flesh, 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 destroy Israel, destroy the Jews, flesh, flesh, flesh. And the Democrats create these intersectional allies. Of course, we've all seen the bizarre pictures of queers for Hamas. Yes, it's ignorance. It's people being spiritually captured. And people like Tim Walz take advantage of this. I'm becoming convinced that where Kamala Harris is simply seeking power at all costs, Tim Walz is evil. I think 9/10 evil. I did an analysis in the podcast the other day trying to figure out if this man lacks intelligence or this man has become imbued with evil. I think it's the latter. I think he's become imbued with evil. He's gained this nickname. I don't know. I may not say this in AFR. I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to use the nickname. You know what it is. It has to do with his decision to put tampons in boys' restrooms, 4th through 12th grade. The DC Examiner has video of Tim Walz praising an imam, Asad Zaman, who's known himself for praising Hitler.
I would like to first of all say thank you to Imam. I am a teacher, so when I see a master teacher, I know it. And over the time we've spent together, one of the things I've had the privilege of is seeing the things in life through the eye of a master teacher to try and get the understanding.
So now, just so you know, Tim Walz later said he doesn't have any personal relationship with the imam. Well, one of two things is true. Tim Walz knows the imam to be a master teacher who's taught him many things. Or Tim Walz has no personal relationship with the imam. Which one is true? In the case of Tim Walz, we can only guess. And I would guess that it's the personal relationship that's the truth. Why? Look at Minnesota. There are parts of Minnesota that is, now keep in mind, the intersectional politics. Minnesota is a sanctuary state for parents who have been conned, abused, spiritually captured enough to take their little kids and have them chemically and surgically mutilated. That's Minnesota. Minnesota is also the home to government agencies celebrating the Muslim call to prayer four times a day, signing proclamations that it's a good thing, but it's for all faiths, understand? All faiths are the same, of course. Alive Satans. Minnesota sanctuary state for budding acts of Sharia law. Minnesota sanctuary state for people who are same-sex attracted, who Sharia law would see killed. God is a God of order and love and light. In him, there's no darkness at all. Satan is a creature who operates in the dark with distortions and depressions. Lies. Intersectional politics. Imagine the intersectional politics among the demons, fighting and crawling over one another to get close to Lucifer, Satan now, crawling over one another, lying to one another. That's hell. People who choose to keep themselves apart from the Lord Jesus will live forever in an eternity where sins multiply on a daily basis with compounding interest and compounding bile. Wow. Point of comparison. It's not just people like Walz who are creating this insane intersectional alliance. In Britain, a man whose name is David Spring, he has a really foul mouth, at least when he's angry and frustrated. He went to a protest on July 31st, and this turned disorderly. He said really rude things. He called police officers rude names taken from some of the body parts of women. He used hostile gestures, and he was involved in chanting, "Who the blank is Allah, and you're not English anymore." He was put in jail for 18 months for rude statements. The marching Muslims who chanted death to Israel, rape the Jewish girls. Well, I mean, you can't really stop them. They're the newcomers. Jesus said, "Do not lord your power over others." Jesus said, "Love your enemy." Jesus said, "Pray for your enemy." This intersectional alliance, the state of Minnesota, both the sanctuary state for same-sex attracted people and chemically and surgically mutilating kids, and also for Sharia law, that speaks to someday there being a fight between those groups, doesn't it? That's the point. That's the point. J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk have been named in a lawsuit filed by this Algerian boxer who pretends to be a woman. And again, note the comparison. Algerian male boxer pretends to be a woman, ends up fighting for a woman's championship against another man in the Olympics. He turns around and sues Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling for cyberbullying, using a group that fights online hate. Can you find a better example of hating women than beating their faces in while pretending to be a woman? I'm a pretty creative guy. I can't find a better example. The intersectional alliances. There's a man who calls himself Paula Stone Williams, formerly president of the Orchard Group Church Planning Network, who supports Kamala Harris because Kamala is happy to support chemical and surgical mutilation of children.
I'm frightened for the children, but now I have hope. I hope you will give, and I hope you will give again and again and again, and I hope you will take every opportunity you have, and you will remember the children, all those kids who have every right to live an authentic life, because the call toward authenticity is sacred and holy and for the greater good. And I, for one, want a president and a vice president who believe the same. Thank you.
So this man pretending to be a woman is saying, think of the children. Indeed, think of the children. The state of Minnesota, a place where so-called trans kids, and no child is trans, no child has ever been born in the wrong body, are moving for protection right next door to where there's Sharia law being set up, Sharia law that would have people like that killed. But yes, 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 think of the children. This is an interesting person, this Paula Stone Williams. Paula Stone Williams either allowed to be placed or wrote a headline describing himself as a transgender pastor on a hero's journey. So much of the gender rebellion is narcissism in a new path. I don't know Paula Stone Williams' heart. I will not pretend that he is a woman because he is not. I will call him Paula because that's a name he's chosen and he deserves the respect to have be called the name he's chosen for himself. But listen as he talks about what was no doubt painful. I guess specifically for a narcissist. When he decided to, quote, come out, when he decided to come out as so-called transgender, he talked about being fired. He talked about being fired from jobs. And I want you to hear that in a second. Let me get to a quicker clip, though. We'll come back and play that because I think it's important for people of the Christian faith to hear. Jeffrey Marsh, in my opinion, is the most influential groomer of children into the trans cult. He's infamous for telling kids to separate from their families. So, of course, the DNC has invited him to be a special guest at their convention.
Hi, love. Here are three ways to disrespect your elders. So if you're dealing with a narcissistic parent or a bullying boss at work, you need to, one, play innocent. There's some sort of secret code or language they're using to try to get you to do what they want. And all you need to do is ask, what do you mean? I don't get it. Could you explain that? Be innocent. Number two, feel no guilt. Bullies and narcissists use guilt as leverage. And if you refuse to feel guilty, it doesn't matter what you do or what they do or say. And number three, limit contact. Don't do extra. Don't go above and beyond. Don't show up constantly, consistently, and all the time sacrificing your life for their agenda.
So the clip that I mentioned of this pastor, this former pastor, it's important and I'm going to describe it to you, but we just had a mistake behind the scenes. That was Jeffrey Marsh. Jeffrey Marsh goes around telling kids to leave their families. Jeffrey Marsh says to kids, I will be your parent. Jeffrey Marsh, as I understand it, affords kids information on where they can go hide from their parents, talks about states where this can be done. Jeffrey Marsh is being brought into the DNC as a special guest. The same DNC that is welcoming by virtue of bringing in Muslims from all backgrounds without checking to see if they're proponents of Sharia law and certainly not telling them to become part of American society, certainly not telling them we are a constitutional republic, certainly not telling them you're not going to establish a Muslim theocracy here. They won't do that. They're sponsoring that view and the view that men like Jeffrey Marsh, who makes no effort to appear to be a female, he keeps his 5 o'clock shadow but wears women's makeup. It's all part of the psyop. He's going to be a special guest, a man who encourages children to leave their families. If that's not so much like Satan in the garden, I don't know what is. Satan said to Adam and Eve, surely God didn't tell you not to eat the food. Paraphrasing, No, no. He said, just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for we will die. Well, no, surely you won't die. You'll be just like God. This is what the left is saying to kids. God made you male, but you can make yourself female. God gave you a family, but Jeffrey Marsh will teach you how to leave your family. The Democrats sponsor this, and they sponsor Islam, which for all its faults, and they're massive, actually promotes family. Notice the birth rate. So I'd played earlier this clip from Paula Stone Williams saying, think of the families, think of the kids. This is why I'm voting for Kamala Harris for the children. He also sat down and talked about how when he decided to announce to the world, I'm not really a man, I'm a woman, you just can't see it. He got fired from his jobs. He'd been working for Christian organizations. And he said, everywhere in America, it's illegal to fire a so-called transgender person except for a Christian organization. Well, yes, because you were going into these Christian organizations saying you have to lie with me. Not sexually, but you have to lie for me and pretend I'm a woman. We can't do that. It must have been very painful for Paula. And it was the right thing to do. You cannot be a pastor lying to your flock. We'll come back on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling coming up. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. This is from Susan Crabtree. She is a reporter, Real Clear Politics, national political correspondent. And she's going to make available to you, through me, some information here that would prove something about the Secret Service. Let's do a multiple choice quiz together. The Secret Service made substantive changes to the method with which they protect Donald Trump after the attempted assassination attempt. Well, it's not multiple choice. It's true or false. Did they? This is Susan Crabtree, exclusive and breaking news. During a Donald Trump visit to North Carolina yesterday, a female Secret Service agent abandoned her post to breastfeed with no permission or warning to the event site agent, according to three sources in the Secret Service community. Shortly before Trump's motorcade arrival, I'm told 5 minutes beforehand, the site agent was getting ready for the arrival. The site agent is the person in charge of the entire event's security. The site agent went to do one final sweep of the walking route and found the agent breastfeeding her child in a room that is supposed to be set aside for important Secret Service official work, i.e. potential emergency related to the president. A working agent on duty cannot bring a child to a protective assignment. The woman was out of the Atlanta field office. The woman was in the room with two other family members. The agent and her family members bypassed the uniform division checkpoint and were escorted by an unpinned event staff into the room to breastfeed, the source said. Unpinned means they've not been cleared by the Secret Service to be there. When contacted about the incident, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said the incident did not have an impact on the event and it's under review. All employees of the Secret Service are held to the highest standards. While there was no impact to the North Carolina event, the specifics of this incident are being examined. Given this is a personal matter, we're not in a position to comment further. No, it's not personal. Just a reminder that during the many opportunities, the Secret Service and the temp employees, the DHS employees there in place of Secret Service employees, the beleaguered and wildly unqualified female agents on stage, unable to cover the president, the many opportunities they had to take the shooter out or to question him or, in fact, to arrest him for questioning. the many times that they knew he was up to no good with his rangefinder. Just a reminder that as he was on the building, getting ready to lay down in the prone position to shoot at President Trump, there were three agents in the building immediately next door on an equal height. They could have seen him. Here's what happened. We're told. One agent went home sick. Hey, like the lady who went to breastfeed. That left two agents. The second agent had to go relieve himself. Had to leave the building to do that. That left one agent. He left the building after his colleague texted him or called him and said, I forgot my card key. I can't get back in. Come and get me. And that agent went down, leaving zero agents who were up there as counter snipers who also could have taken out the shooter. I find it difficult, if not impossible, to believe that the only mistake that day among the people who wanted President Trump murdered was not remembering that God is sovereign and can use all things for good, including, in my judgment, deciding, no, I'm not ready yet to see the United States in a civil war. No, I'm not going to let you get away with this. I'm going to turn President Trump's face towards the danger. That's the only mistake they made. Forgetting that God is sovereign. Praise God. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been. You know, what can be unburdened by what has been. There are those who are unable to see what can be. But there are many more who are able to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Incidentally, what has been? I mean, I know that that's Kamala Harris babbling. But what has been? You know what has been? Our Constitution. Restraint on power, that has been. Kamala Harris is able to see beyond what has been. The possibilities of running rampant over that, of course, I think she means. Or at least is indicating towards that. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. CNN knows why black men will not all vote for figurehead cackling Kamala Harris.
This has a history that, look, dates back to the history of gender roles that were specified in through colonialism as well in the start of this country. But I think what's key is that it's also those black men that seem to be trying to overcome this sort of uncomfortable truth.
So wait, black men are not voting for Kamala Harris because they're trying to overcome the uncomfortable truth of gender stereotypes and colonialism. That is very much like, I ate all the chocolate cake because our neighbor Freddie is having a garage sale on Sunday. Perfect sense. Next, soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Tired of pretending Donald Trump is a Russian asset and literally Hitler. David Frum compares him to a notorious serial-murdering hippie cult leader.
Mike Murphy, the Republican campaign consultant, nearly a decade ago, said that asking Donald Trump to talk about policy is like teaching Charles Manson to foxtrot. He can manage a step or two, but then he's going to put a pencil in your eye because he's Charles Manson. And Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And as you just said a minute ago, I mean, it's astonishing. Of course, he's an insult comic.
President Trump does insult people, sometimes in funny manners, sometimes in clumsy and mean manners. What were his policies while in office? He brought manufacturing jobs back. How? Simple math. Simple math. The labyrinthine, purposely labyrinthine, IRS codes in this country made it more profitable for companies to hire tax attorneys and tax lawyers so they could offshore their businesses, pretending their manufacturing businesses were located and headquartered in Scotland, than it was for them just to do business here, where they're making their stuff. So often, they actually found it cheaper to literally offshore production, to pick up and move massive pieces of equipment and people. President Trump just changed the tax rates. And lo and behold, look at that. Companies came back. Man, that's a tough policy for a guy like President Trump who lives and breathes money, maybe even to his detriment. That's a tough one for him to explain, yet he did it and got it passed and it worked. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. No one in the White House is even bothering to pretend Joe Biden is in charge. Listen as his 26-year-old press aides shout him down as Biden tries to speak to an audience member.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you, press.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press. Thank you all. Thank you,
press.
Yes, yes, yes. I told you we're going to have a soft landing. We're going to have a soft landing. My policies are working. Start writing that way, okay?
The president, we're told, Joe Biden, figurehead, I say, tried to answer a question from a citizen, and there's the gaggle of press girls, I use the phrase advisedly, because they're acting like young girls, shouting him down. Wherein I grew up, my granddaddy told me, when the president decides to speak to somebody out of respect for the office, you don't start yelling, thank you, press, thank you, press, thank you, press. But then again, I'm in my mid-50s, and we just didn't know right from wrong back in the day. We were just all confused that way, what with politeness and such, respect for the office. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
That was joy. They're rebounding that laughter, that cackling of Kamala Harris's joy. There was a joyful event and a sorrowful event all in one. For people who follow the CrossFit Games, I'm going to guess that's a minority number. You may have heard about the death of a guy named Lazar Jusic. Lazar was a very talented athlete, and from people I know him, a kind man. He was in competing in the CrossFit Games, and there was a long run. And Lazar was a man, I think he weighed about 220 pounds, solid muscle, ran 3 and some miles at a 6-minute pace. And for you who are elite runners, you might say, well, 6 minutes isn't that fast. It is in the heat in Texas when you weigh 220 pounds and then you're going to jump into water that I've heard from people who competed in the games. The water there was very hot, maybe 90 degrees, and unable to cool your body temperature down. Lazar drowned. This happens a lot more commonly than people know in triathlons. It happened once in the CrossFit Games, and people attacked CrossFit. I do CrossFit. It's my hobby. And so that kind of hurt. Much more importantly, though, the CrossFit Games failed to protect Lazar. It's horrific to watch. Lifeguards not paying attention to a drowning man. I don't mean to cast aspersions on them. I don't know what they were told to do. I know watching it was horrible. I know a spectator dove into the water and swam frantically trying to reach Lazar, yelling, he's drowning, he's drowning. There's going to be a full investigation into this, of course. CrossFit, I'm told, is cooperating in this. Just point of fact, I know not well. I know some of the people who lead CrossFit. I know fairly well the guy who started it, founded it, Greg Glassman, who's become a friend of mine. Just I'm telling you this, not to drop names, but to provide context. That was the tragedy. It makes me sad to say this, but a friend of mine, a guy I don't know well, I consider a friend, but very, very much more of an acquaintance. We've never had a real conversation about life, but I see him on a regular basis. He is an unbelievably supportive man. And I want to tell you why he's that way. My friend James Sprague won the CrossFit Games. This is, in my opinion, the biggest feat of fitness that there is. James missed the games the year prior. He didn't make it in. He didn't make it out of regionals. Missed that by like 7 seconds. Made it into the games last year. Got 21st. This year he won the games. And he praised Jesus. I should have pulled some audio, but I never know what I'm going to say in these segments. By the way, this last segment of the show is never planned. I never plan it. I just want to speak with you. James won the games, and he immediately, the face of shock and awe. He didn't expect this. He's 22. And he wept, and then he praised Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, time and time again in interview after interview. First time I saw this guy, I was in the gym trying to relearn rope climbing, which is a skill I had back when I was a wrestler, a skill that I'd lost. Very frustrating, particularly watching James come in and fly up and down the ropes. And he was loud and boisterous. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a bother in the gym. And then he came over to me and he said, you're going to get this. You got the arm strength, the core strength. You got a great coach. I believe in you. You're going to get this, man. You're going to get this. You're going to get it back. And I did. And a respect for James was born. I met his dad. His dad was third in the CrossFit Games a few years ago for my age group. He is a rock solid block of muscle. I saw him one day running 400 meter sprints and doing reps at 500 pounds on the deadlift, back and forth, back and forth. He's my age, 56, 57, I think. One day, out of the kindness of his heart, he decided to help me during a workout. He simply gave me one technical tip. He stopped his training, a professional athlete, and gave me a technical tip. You know what I found out later? Pat Sprague had been an alcoholic. He was almost bankrupt. He couldn't scrape together 2 days of success until he surrendered to our Lord and your Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I get it. Now I know why James Sprague wept for his friend Lazar so fervently and thanked the Lord Jesus so much. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until the Lord gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.